हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 77, chapter 10, Lord Shiva and Uma. Uma, glorify Markandeya Rishi. Sutta Goswami continued, understanding the situation very well, the powerful Lord Shiva employed his mystic power to enter within the sky of Markandeya's heart, just as the wind passes through an opening. Sri Markandeya said Lord Shiva appears suddenly within his heart. Lord Shiva's golden hair resembling lightning, and he had 3 eyes, 10 arms, and a tall body that shone like the rising sun. He wore a tiger skin, and he carried a trident, a bow, arrows, a sword, and a shield, along with prayer beads, a damaru drum, a skull, and an axe. Astonished, the sage came out of his trance and thought, who is this, and where has he come from? Right, because he's doing his meditation, so he's not going to come out of trance. So he just enters his heart, and then it's like, whoa, okay, who's that? You know, who is this and where has he come from? Opening his eyes, the sage saw Lord Rudra, the spiritual master of the three worlds, together with Uma and Rudra's followers. Markandeya then offered his respectful obeisances by bowing his head. Markandeya worshipped Lord Shiva along with Uma and Shiva's associates. By offering them words of welcome, sitting places, water for washing their feet, scented drinking water, fragrant oils, flower garlands, and artik lamps. Markandeya said, O mighty Lord, what can I possibly do for you, who are fully satisfied by your own ecstasy? Indeed, by your mercy, you satisfy this entire world. Again and again I offer my obeisances unto you. O all-auspicious transcendental personality, as the Lord of goodness, you give pleasure. In contact with the mode of passion, you appear most fearful, and you also associate with the mode of ignorance. Sutta Goswami said, Lord Shiva, the foremost demigod and the shelter of the saintly devotees, was satisfied by Markandeya's praise. Pleased, he smiled and addressed the sage. Lord Shiva said, please ask me for some benediction, since among all givers of benedictions, we three, Brahma, Vishnu, and I, are the best. Seeing us never goes in vain, because simply by seeing us as a mortal achieves immortality. The inhabitants and ruling demigods of all planets, along with Lord Brahma, the Supreme Lord Hari, and I, glorify, worship, and assist those brahmanas who are saintly, always peaceful, free of material attachment, compassionate to all living beings, purely devoted to us, devoid of hatred, and endowed with equal vision. These devotees do not differentiate between Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and me, nor do they differentiate between themselves and other living beings. Therefore, because you are this kind of saintly devotee, we worship you. Right? Because the aspect with Lord Shiva is the non-difference from the Lord. Right? That's the aspect that's generally brought out. So you'll see also when he presents in discussions, he'll bring this point out. Right? So, in other words, you're seeing the same on the same transcendental position, the same the qualities, that point of it's being focused on Krishna, you know, like this. So these aspects are being brought out. You can see from here then where the Shaivites, and then would go into impersonalism.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. But the Vaishnavas know what he's talking about. Right, because you're talking about qualities, not quantity and stuff. Does that mean, yeah? These mere bodies of water do not constitute holy places, nor are lifeless statues of the demigods actual worshipable deities, because external vision fails to appreciate the higher essence of the holy rivers and the demigods. These purify only after a considerable time. But devotees like you purify immediately just by being seen. Right, so you take bath in the Ganga every day. After a long time, you start getting very, very good results. Mm-hmm. But you see is that by seeing such saintly persons like Markandeya, immediately, just on seeing them, you get those results. Mm-hmm. By meditating upon the Supreme Soul, performing austerities, engaging in Vedic study, and following regulative principles, the Brahmanas sustain within themselves the three Vedas, which are non-different from Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and me. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto the Brahmanas. Even the worst sinners and social outcasts are purified just by hearing about or seeing personalities like you. Imagine then how purified they become by directly speaking with you. Yeah, so that's the point, is that the association of the devotees, that's the most powerful of all the processes. Because by that, then you'll take up chanting and all the everything else. So just by seeing them, you become purified, you become qualified to perform all the Vedic activities. Right? Sutta Goswami said, drinking with his ears Lord Shiva's nectarian words, full of the confidential essence of religion, Markandeya Rishi could not be satiated. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Dharma mentioned here is pure bhakti, mentioned in verse 20. And not seeing difference between self and others is mentioned in verse 22. Guhya was, we worship you, in verse 22. Words full of bhakti and the intimate relation of the Lord with his devotee could not satisfy him completely. He was not experiencing bliss from being praised, but in the guise of being praised, getting instructions, telling him what type of person he should be. Right? So when someone's talking about all these glories about, it's just, that's what you see, you become inspired that that's what you should be. Just like, you know, just like we say, you should, you know, someone should become a pure devotee, and all, we aspire to do that. So that's all. So whether it's generically directed or specifically, then the same point is there. That's how he doesn't become proud. Right? Yeah. So then the intimate relationship with the Lord. So he's bringing out the closeness with the Lord. That's why all the aspects of oneness are there. Does that make sense? So he understands this in devotion. He's bringing out that intimacy. Sutta Goswami continued, Markandeya, having been forced by Lord Vishnu's illusory energy to wander about for a long time in the water of disillusion, had become extremely exhausted. But Lord Shiva's words of nectar vanquished his accumulated suffering. Thus he addressed Lord Shiva. Right, so he was there forced for a long, because he wanted, but then it's going to go how it's going to go. That's the only problem. Right? Sri Markandeya said, it is indeed most difficult for embodied souls to understand the pastimes of the universal controllers. For such lords bow down to and offer praise to the very living beings they rule. Generally, it is to induce embodied souls to accept religious principles that the authorized teachers of religion exhibit ideal behavior while encouraging and praising the proper behavior of others. Right? So it's just also giving an example of how the teaching process works. You're committed to your following, and then you encourage the others to also follow. So,
you know, means when Markandeya was very tired, you know?
Yeah.
So is it the solution for fatigue is to meet a pure devotee?
Yes, that's one of the ways to do it, definitely, definitely. But not to get rid of your fatigue.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a problem. you know, it's like, right? One who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. One who's the devotee of my devotee is my devotee, right? So as soon as you go to the saintly person and become relieved from the material fatigue, then you may not be relieved from material fatigue. When you go because you're inspired by their transcendental position, then you will be. Like that, so.
The only way to get out of the fatigue is to go to a transcendental level.
Yeah. Yeah. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, kings such as Janaka attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general,
We haven't read Vishwanath Chakravarti.
We didn't. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. They have acted like this to teach others. They praise Dharma, which is undertaken. They say, this act which is performed by great persons is most auspicious. This implies praise for the present performer of that act. Right? Because someone is doing something, and you say, how these great personalities before, they've all done this kind of thing.
Yes.
You're praising that those previous, but at the same time, you're indirectly also praising them. It implies that you're praising them. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, King such as Janaka attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, for the sake of educating people in general, you should perform your work. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So you see, you're glorifying Janaka, you're giving the general rule, but then you're also pointing out that Arjuna is such a person that could also set the standard like this that the general public would follow. Right? Yeah. So that's what he meant. So it means even though all the three of them are the rulers of all living entities, they are praising and glorifying them and respecting them, all the other living entities. So that's Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita 320?
And
20. I was going to say, wow, there's something more that we don't know about. Chapter 3, verse 20, and the 21st, aspect of it or something. Unless they're meaning 3 means that it's Uddhava Gita. Like that. So 1 would be Bhagavad Gita, 2 would be Kapila Gita, 3 would be Uddhava Gita. Okay. Sri Markandeya continued. This apparent humility is simply a show of mercy. Such behavior of the Supreme Lord and his personal associates, which the Lord affects by his own bewildering potency, does not spoil his power any more than a magician's powers are diminished by his exhibition of tricks. I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Personality of Godhead who has created this entire universe simply by his desire and then entered into it as the Supersoul. By making the modes of nature act, he seems to be the direct creator of this world, just as a dreamer seems to be acting within his dream. He is the owner and ultimate controller of the three modes of nature, yet he remains alone and without any equal. He is the supreme spiritual master of all, the original personal form of the absolute truth. O all-pervading Lord, since I have received the benediction of seeing you, what other benediction can I ask for? Simply by seeing you, a person fulfills all his desires, can achieve anything imaginable. But I do request one benediction from you. We're full of all perfection and able to shower down the fulfillment of all desires. I ask to have unfailing devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and for his dedicated devotees, especially you. Right? So he was situated like this, but he had an interest. Well, what is this Maya? And so then having seen this Maya for 7 kalpas, like that, you know, including day and night, you know, then now he's good. He's good. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. I request devotion to the Lord's devotees, and similarly to the best devotee, you, the instructor of bhakti, the guru. This means, quote, may I have devotion to you as a devotee, not as the Supreme Lord. Unquote. Sutta Goswami said, because as the Supreme Lord, he's the Lord of the mode of ignorance. right? But as a devotee, he's the topmost devotee. Right? Sutta Goswami said, thus worshipped and glorified by the eloquent statements of the sage Markandeya, Lord Sarva, Shiva, encouraged by his consort, replied to him as follows. Lord Shiva said, O great sage, because you are devoted to Lord Adhoksaja, all your desires will be fulfilled. Until the very end of this creation cycle, you will enjoy pious fame and freedom from old age and death. O Brahmana, may you have perfect knowledge of past, present, future, along with transcendental realization of the Supreme, enriched by renunciation. You have the brilliance of an ideal Brahmana, and thus may you achieve the post of spiritual master of the Puranas.
Right. You say end of the creation, so we have the same Brahma's lifetime?
Yeah, Brahma's lifetime. He's already gone through 7 days, so I don't think he means just the end of this day, because otherwise what's the big deal? He's already been through 7 kalpas, then, you know, may you live till the end of this kalpa. I mean, it's okay, but it's not as good as that to the end of the life of Brahma.
Also interesting that she encourages him to speak, but she doesn't come forward
herself,
and she's the most perfect woman.
Yeah, but I mean, why do that when you have someone who will do the work for you? In other words, why wash the dishes when you can get someone else to do it? You know, that's the whole point. It's just the relationship. Then you have a relationship, right? And the point is, you can say is it. That's the whole point of the relationships. It has this dual thing, is that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of all living entities, but they're respecting all others, right? Even though they're the ruler. So in this way is that even though in this case Uma is submissive to her husband, she's controlling her husband and getting him to do what should be done. You know, she wants to go see him. She wants to give the benediction. And then Shiva then has to work that out. So then he sees that, well, he's not going to ask any benediction of this because he's already, you know, self-satisfied. So then all that could be given is the benediction of devotion. So at least we'll go and see like this. So she's controlling, you know, to get her desires fulfilled, but he's fulfilling the desires of what is appropriate in his position. So you always have this balance. So that's the difficulty, is when we take it into the atheistic context, then it becomes impersonal. It drops out of the personal thing, and then from that, then we try to create this, our own ideas of control. But it lacks the personal element. You know, it's just like Ramachandra is in control of his kingdom, but at the same time, it's being done considering the needs of his citizens. You know, so there's always that balance. This whole idea is just you're in control and there's nothing controlling you. You know, or sometimes we'll try to do, you know, in government checks and balances. You know, you have the executive, legislative, and judicial, and they control each other. But it's not about relationship, it's just about control. Because control without relationship, then it's not necessarily that wonderful. But control when there's a relationship, then you don't need to control it. It's natural. Sutta Goswami said, having thus granted Markandeya Rishi benedictions, Lord Shiva went on his way, continuing to describe to Goddess Devi the accomplishments of the sage and the direct exhibition of the Lord's illusory power that he had experienced. Right, so they're just going on and talking about that. Markandeya Rishi, the best of the descendants of Bhrigu, is glorified because of his achievements of perfection in mystic yoga. Even today he travels about this world, fully absorbed in unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have thus narrated to you the activities of the highly intelligent sage Markandeya, especially how he experienced the amazing power of the Supreme Lord's illusory energy. Although this event was unique and unprecedented, some unintelligent persons compare it to the cycle of illusory material existence the Supreme Lord has created for the conditioned souls, an endless cycle that has been continuing since time immemorial. Right, so he's beyond. He's beyond these things. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. What Markandeya saw was the power of the Lord's Maya, seven times entering and coming out of the baby form of the Lord, who had inconceivable powers when the Lord inhaled and exhaled was a unique pastime. Some foolish persons explain seven kalpas to mean that humans under ignorance for a long time rotate repeatedly in bodies for thousands of celestial yugas. Anuvarti tam. So it's not a comparison there. You know, it's just like when Arjuna is talking about, means how you say, Krishna is talking about the chariots and the horses and the reins and all that, and then when we take it that it's an analogy and actually they're not on the battlefield and this and that, it's just, that's unintelligent people. No, these things happened. So it's a pastime that's there. And, you know, we take seven, why seven? We've been here since time immemorial. Right? Now is, Brahma's in his 51st year. Right? So let's just start with the 50. Okay? Mm-hmm. So 50 times 360. That's how many kalpas we've been through in this universe. And then add on to that the 28 of this particular kalpa. Right? That makes sense. Yeah. So that's a few. That's a bit. Like that. And so the whole idea is then we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, that gets us out. So we don't have to put in all these different things or this and that. And, you know, yeah. Śrīla Gosvāmī concluded, O best of the Bhrigus, this account concerning Markandeya Rishi conveys the transcendental potency of the Supreme Lord. Anyone who properly narrates or hears it will never again undergo material existence, which is based on the desire to perform fruitive activities. Right? So material existence is about fruitive activities and about the desire too. Why? Because the fruitive activity will give it a result that we will enjoy. So giving up that desire and joy, you give up the fruit of work, you just engage in devotional service. So that's the benediction given. Right? Yeah, we know it's a slight difference. Like before it was that this one will become a king, this will become a great Brahmin, this will become like this. That's just, you know, you'll get out of material existence. Conclusion. Association with saintly devotees is man's highest achievement. So Markandeya is very happy, inspired, associated with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is very inspired, associated with Markandeya Rishi. Right?
He's perfection.
Yes, perfection. And then Uma, she's happy associating, having that opportunity to hear from both, right? So, yes.
Sometimes we experience that in association, just the presence of the spiritual master or devotees means they are there, makes us happy, but not necessarily the interaction.
Well, Prabhupada says just being there, you imperceptibly advance. Even, you know, not doing anything specific, you're just there, you advance.
So this is good.
Which part? The advanced part or that you're doing nothing?
No, that...
I don't have to do anything. This is great.
We contemplate, but in terms of interaction, it's much more difficult, apparently.
I wouldn't focus on that aspect. You put me on what the last point you said. You focus on just the advantage of the association of devotees. And so whatever that association entails, you know, just being in the same planet as them or, you know, whatever it is, then that's always a good thing. Rather than look at it as difficult or this or that. Or, because then when the opportunity of service is there, we may not take it. You understand? Because giving up something because it's difficult, that's the mode of passion. So we want to avoid that. So it just, you look at what's the good, and according to what works for you, that close you get. Does that make sense? So that's why the advantage of in the, you know, old temples, they all have, there's lots of pillars. Yeah, so you could stand behind a pillar. You know, nowadays, you always like to clear out all the pillars and that, so nothing to stand behind, right? Because external vision fails to appreciate the higher essence of the holy rivers and the demigods, these purify only after a considerable time. But devotees, however, purify immediately just by being seen, right? So just seeing, you're getting benefit, let alone hearing, let alone serving, applying that, you know, just the proofs. By meditating upon the Supreme Soul, performing austerities, engaging in Vedic study, and following regular principles, the Brahmanas sustain within themselves the three Vedas, which are non-different from Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. Therefore, even these lords offer their obeisances unto the Brahmanas. It is indeed most difficult for embodied souls to understand the pastimes of the universal controllers, for such lords bow down to and offer praise to the very living beings they rule. Generally, it is to introduce embodied souls to accept religious principles that the authorized teachers of religion exhibit ideal behavior while encouraging and praising the proper behavior of others. Chapter 11. Summary. Summary descriptions of the Mahapurusha. Patigya. By seeing and remembering the Lord's vibhutis, one can easily remember the Lord's feet. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Dialogue overview. Having heard about the activities of Markandeya, now Sri Shaunaka Rishi wants to know about his method of worship. Sri Shaunaka Rishi asked Suta Goswami question 12.4 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 12.11.1-3. Sri Shaunaka said, "You are the best of learned men about and a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we now inquire from you about the definitive conclusion of all Tantra scriptures. All good fortune to you. Please explain to us, who are very eager to learn, the process of Kriya Yoga practiced through regulated worship of the Transcendental Lord, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. Please also explain how the Lord's devotees conceive of his limbs, associates, weapons, and ornaments in terms of particular material representations. By expertly worshipping the Supreme Lord, a mortal man can attain immortality." Suta Goswami answers this question through verse 26. Sri Shaunaka Rishi asks through the Suta Goswami question 12.5 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 12.11.27-28. Sri Shaunaka said, "Please describe to us, who have great faith in your words, the different sets of seven personal features and associates the sun god exhibits during each month." Along with their names and activities. The associates of the sun god who serve the Lord are personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in his feature as the presiding deity of the sun. Suta Goswami answers this question throughout the rest of the chapter. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 11th chapter, the angas and upangas and vibhutis for worship are described as well as the 12 expansions of the sun. Sardarta Darshani 12.11.1. In the context of worship, this chapter describes the Mahapurusha and the various expansions of the sun in each month. Sri Suta first tells Shaunaka Rishi about the material objects through which one can understand the major limbs, the secondary limbs, the weapons, and the garments of Lord Sri Hari. Then he outlines the process of practical service by which a mortal soul can gain immortality. When Shaunaka shows further interest in learning about the expansion of Lord Hari in the form of the sun god, Suta replies that Lord Sri Hari, the indwelling controller of the universe and its original creator, manifests himself in the form of the demigod of the sun. Sages describe the sun god in many features according to his different material designations. To sustain the world, the personality of Godhead manifests his potency of time as the sun and travels throughout the 12 months, beginning with Chaitra, along with 12 sets of personal associates. One who remembers the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, in his form as the sun, will become free of his sinful reactions. Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses 1-26, the vibhutis of the Lord, 27-50, the personal features and associates of the sun god. Verses 1-26, the vibhutis of the Lord. Sri Shaunaka said, "O Suta, you are the best of learned men and a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we now inquire from you about the definitive conclusion of all Tantra scriptures. All good fortune to you. please tell that. So tantra means the practical regulations that you apply, right? So mantra means what, you know, the mantras that are being used, what's being chanted, and tantra means the ritual that goes along with that mantra. Is that, yeah. Please explain to us who are eager to learn the process of Kriya Yoga, practiced through regulated worship of the Transcendental Lord, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. So Kriya means activities, but we also remember the important point is the connection with the Lord. Right? So they're not interested in Kriya Yoga without the connection to the Lord. They're interested about the connection to the Lord. Right?
Can we say that Kriya Yoga is like a regulated worship of the Transcendental Lord?
It'll all be worship of the Lord. So all these different yoga processes, yes, they're all worship of the Lord. Because yoga means to connect to the Supreme. Yes. So then, because of Markandeya's position, then you want to connect to the Supreme in that position of pure devotion. So that's the essential point.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, did I finish that? No. Please also explain how the Lord's devotees conceive of his limbs, associates, weapons, and ornaments in terms of particular material representations. By expertly worshipping the Supreme Lord, a mortal can attain immortality. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Markandeya, our ancestor, was expert in tantrika worship of the Lord. We ask you about this now. We ask about the method of worship by which he made the Lord visible, and describe how the followers of Tantra conceive of the limbs for the purpose of worship by using the vibhutis of the Lord's seed in the material world. Okay. So, we ask about the method of worship by which he made the Lord visible, by which he can see the Lord. But so the Lord has to reveal himself, so that means you have to be following a process that pleases the Lord.
Yes.
Right? So then, he's using here, the followers of Tantra conceive the limbs for the purpose of worship by using the vibhutis seen in this world. So you see what's here, you see what's the opulence that's here, from that you go back to the Lord.
Yes.
Right? So it's a technique of, it's been described before by Krishna, how he is everything and everything's in him. Is by understanding that connection through the opulences.
Yes.
So it's not specifically the thing itself, it's the opulence that thing has. That's the important aspect.
Yes.
Right? So it's not that we have a stack of bricks here, called a column, like that. It's the potency, that strength that's there, that it holds up the roof, that is the potency that's there. So Krishna's holding up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So like that, you...
Yes.
It's just the inverse of, you know, starting with what you see and then taking it back to the Lord.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So it's just a matter of how far back you take it. Just up to the point of, you know, his position as the Supreme, you know, his position as God, or as a person, and as a person, which aspect of his person? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the gopis is the same thing, but then they take it back to him as the dearmost of Mother Jashoda.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So make sense? So that's the whole thing. It's just taken, just how much mechanics you have to go through, you know, so that and how far back you take it. But the point is, it's the same process.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, it's just to take the process from the energy to the energetic.
Yes, you're going from energy to energetic. But you're seeing, what is the representative of Krishna in his energy?
Yes.
You understand? It's just like, you know, we give the example of the childness, but the childhood is what's Krishna. He's also the childness, but childness is manifest through his energy. So we see the child. We see the childhood, and so then from that, then we're able to appreciate the childness, and then take it back to Krishna. So that, good. So that works in most languages except Hungarian. Like that. It works in the other languages.
Russian is difficult.
It's difficult, but not impossible.
But some scholars comment it, and it sounds quite okay.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
So can we say that the process and how far we take it, it's established by sampradaya we're in?
Yes. Because otherwise, then what means... It's not even as matters, let's say, in saying how far you take it, we're talking about the mood. Like that. So in other words, we take it up to, you know, sweetness.
Right.
So sweetness on its own means Vrindavan.
Yes.
Right? While, let's say, the followers of Vaikuntha line, it's not that they might not, as their Ishtadev, that they wouldn't have Krishna, but they'll still be seeing him through the flavor of majesty. Right? So one of the greatnesses of Vishnu is he has these wonderful, sweet pastimes. You know, just like he comes as Nisringa and does what he does there, and he comes as Varaha and does, he also comes as Krishna, and then has these sweet pastimes. So they may be totally absorbed in worshipping Krishna, you know, in Vrindavan. But it's based on him as, you know, a expansion of Mahanarayan. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's just you've taken it back, it's what's the flavor in which that's done. Right, because that's the aspect of the jnana shakti, is what's the flavor?
Yeah.
Right, you know, have the icha kriya and jnana, so it's going to be that governs is the flavor. You know, is it majesty? Is it sweetness? Is it mixed? Like that. Does that make sense? So then, when you're looking at performing activities to please the Lord, you're going to be going through that particular position because that's your identity. Right? Because the kriya, the jnana is going to be the sambandha, the kriya, the abhideya, and the icha, the prayojana.
Yes.
Right? So it's going to be your identity.
Yes.
So you'll find many, let's say, like in the Ramanuja sampradaya, that are worshippers of Krishna. But they're taking it that this is pastimes of Lord Vishnu. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because they're not, means they don't, it's not understood. They'll get bewildered when because Mahavishnu is there, you know, and expands down to Kiradakshaya Vishnu, and then all the avatars come from him. So in all the other 999 you know, Dwapara Yugas, where the avatar is black, is Krishna. It's a Vishnumurti. But the pastimes will be towards sweetness. Does that make sense? There'll be, you know, it'll be predominantly sweetness, but it still has that element of majesty to it. So only in this one time in the day of Brahma, then Krishna himself personally comes. He's not an avatar. He's the avatari. Does that make sense? So they only take the avatari back to Mahanarayan, back to the point of the Lord, you know, Vasudeva, the Lord of the Jnana Shakti. They don't know behind that. They don't know behind that Baladev and Krishna. They just know them as they're expanding from Mahanarayan. You know, when Vasudeva then expands as Mahasankarshan and like this, that you get Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka. They only know that part. They don't actually know beyond that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're dealing with Vrindavan. They know it's another unique kind of realm for the Lord's pastime, but they don't understand its position. So if they see verses that talk about him as the original personality, and from him comes Mahanarayan, they get bewildered. They don't. They think there's something funny in the Sanskrit and the grammar. There's something wrong here. You know, they don't go after it much because they have their own scriptures. But if we show art, you know, like that, then they'll move on. So,
yes,
it's just the way it is. So yes, sampradaya will very much affect how far you get.
Maharaj, when they say that Andali, the one of the Alvars, she marries to Ranganath Swami, who is Krishna, and she is a gopi, they're not talking about the Braja pastimes, actually.
When they're talking about Andal and that, no, they're talking about means, I think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes as lower Goloka. Mm-hmm. It's Vrindavan within Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like Dwarka and Mathura are Vaikuntha, so they're considered lower Goloka. Upper is Gokul. So they're not talking about Gokul or Braj. But it's pastimes that will be beyond Mathura, where Krishna is there with Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, and the gopis, and the cowherd boys, and all that. But there'll be an element of Aishwarya there in that performance of pastimes. I'm not sure who does, but one of the Acharyas describes, you know, some of those pastimes, so you have an idea of what they're talking about. It's the same things, but they just do it like Radharani, when she goes to the Rasa dance. Krishna plays his flute, so she's going to the Rasa dance. She goes in a swan airplane with 10 million maidservants. Like that. So it's Vrindavan. It has that aspect of sweetness, but it still has that touch of majesty to it. You know, that she has to walk, and that she has to tie cloth around her ankle bells so they don't ring, and then she has to disguise herself. You know, if it's dark moon, she'll wear dark cloth. If it's full moon, she'll wear white cloth, like this. That they don't get into. Like that. You know, just, she goes in a swan airplane. So basically, they're supposed to be together, because it's Lakshmi and Narayan. So even though it's being maybe presented, how much they present, whether they accept the parakhi or not, that I don't know.
No, they don't accept.
They don't. So it's swakhi, because they're supposed to be together. So it's these pastimes. So it's like worship of the deity. Radha and Krishna are together all day. You wake them up in the morning, you have Mangalarti, you do everything with them all the day. Like that. So them, the Nimbarkas, I think the Vallabhas, then they all work in that kind of aspect. Mm-hmm. So we're working in Braj, which is beyond that. So that has the aspect of Vipralamba that most people don't want to deal with. Why? So we started off this morning. Because people, generally speaking, the living entity is about themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're able to accommodate Krishna or even give up. But there's a certain flavor they want, because to be with Krishna. Right? Because we see the Vaikuntha mood has the aspects of liberation. They're not a problem, because they're all in connection with Krishna. Right? So Salokya, Samipya, Sharshti, and Swarupya. They're all in connection with Krishna. Right? So it has a prominent aspect. So Vipralamba doesn't actually fit into that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So Vipralamba is beyond that. And so to be able to accommodate that, so what does Vipralamba mean? So if we're dealing with these points, means Salokya means you're on the same plan as the Lord. What does that entail? The Lord has to be there. If you're an associate, it means he has to be there, except your service. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know how he says, Sarupya, you know, it has to be the same form. Not that you're sitting there and thinking, you know, you're quite happy in how everything's going. And then the Lord shows up in some really cool sunglasses. You know, like that. It's kind of like, hey, wait a minute. You know, so it's that everything's the same. But the point is then, so it's about, you want a very particular, stable kind of eternity. But Vipralamba means, now Krishna can do whatever he likes. It's always going to be to please the devotees. It's always going to be in connection with the devotees. But still, he can do whatever he likes. So that means, that's why it says there's 100% surrender of the Brajvasis. Right? Somebody says, well, Vaikuntha, it means it's 50-50. Mm. I surrender, and it is surrender because it's connected with the Lord, but you still, there's expectations. Right? Does that make sense? You render the service, it's accepted. But here it's that Krishna does what he wants to bring out the rasa, increase the rasa. The other is going to be very stable, the rasa. So it's going to be, it's prema, it'll be stable. But the other is just unlimitedly expanding. But it means there's that surrender. So you can see, does that make sense? So that's why you can see is, we don't put so much emphasis, you know, those aspects of jnana yoga that we say we're not attached to family and house and money and position and all that. Because That's means you can't even be attached to your what do you call it? The regularity of your spiritual situation, let alone these things.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there, because there they have their home, you know, their family. They, you know, they have their Swan airplane, you know, and like that. And it all goes very nicely. It's just perfect eternally. But here it comes is that it goes beyond and beyond, because Krishna, being unlimited, he's unlimitedly expanding. Therefore, he can unlimitedly expand the taste of rasa within his pastimes. So in Braj, he can do that because of that full surrender. So you see, it's a very unique position of surrender. So that's why for those in the Gaudiya life, it's very easy for them to give up the material attachments because of what's beyond. Does this make sense? Are you getting the feeling or just the words?
Both.
Okay, yes.
About the feelings. For many devotees, actually, it's quite painful to read those pastimes in Vipralamba, how, you know, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba and the gopis and the friends. And it actually... We can't accept that because it's too painful. We're not.
But they're not in pain. We're the ones in pain.
Yeah.
Because we're thinking, if I'm separated from a family member, I'll feel bad, which you do. But they're separated, they don't feel bad. It's just a different flavor. Because the point is when you're away, then being together is good. Right? It's just like, okay, let us say... Son's at the house every day, right? Day in, day out, right? Yeah. And so, you know, it has its flavor.
Yeah.
Now let's say, you know, you have like the, you know, American, I say, what would be stereotype, you know, he goes away to the army, you know, and he's away for 2 years or whatever it is like this. And then when he comes home, then what's the response? What's the mood?
Yeah, it's very intense.
Yeah. So you're just... The point is Braj means you're doing that on a daily basis. You don't have to wait 2 years. You know, the gopis, is, you know, the blink of an eye, it's already been too long. All right, so you're talking about another realm here, the unlimited realm of... The ocean of bhakti. When they talk about the unlimited ocean of bhakti, we put a lot of emphasis on that. I'm not sure if the others do. I'm sure that they talk about the ocean of bhakti, but whether they put an emphasis on the unlimited aspect of it. It'll be mentioned, but I don't think there's much emphasis. Yes?
Jiva Goswami, I think, so he mentions... that how the pain of separation of Lord is not actually a pain. It's like in the full moon night, full moon evening, a lover feeling separation from his beloved because of the full moon rays, seeing the full moon rays. Actually, moon rays is very soothing to a person, but still he's feeling a pain out of it.
Yeah. Because but they're remembering, so it's just a different flavor. So because of the one, it increases the sambhog. The other one, the sambhog, is just stable. It'll be increasing because you're talking about unlimited, but it'll increase at a stable rate. For the others, because of the vipralamba, then it will increase more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just keeps going back and forth. And so that's what's special about Braj. Is that the intensity of it then is beyond what other realms have. That's why you see is those from Braj, even the other realms respect them. You know, so on the bed of arrows, you know, on the battlefield surrounded by all the great kings and kshatriyas, Bhishma Dev is talking about the gopis.
Yes.
Like that. So they're impressed by their and that inspires them in their service. So it increases their devotion. So the point is we shouldn't look at these from the material point of view. That's why nine cantos are there to bring out this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then, and then for Krishna books, so that it could be there, then Prabhupada's already written into the purports, woven into the story, the philosophy of the other nine cantos. So if you stick to that, then you probably won't be a problem. But if you try to go read directly or go read from the acharyas about these things, and that's not put in there, then we may feel bad. Does that make sense? So if they're reading Krishna book and feeling bad, then what can you do? But if they're reading all these other things to get more juice, then don't do that. Read pastimes that they're not going to feel bad about. Does that make sense? Or, clean the temple or do something to, purify the heart. Does that make sense? No? Yes?
Yeah.
So, Mother Jashoda is not feeling bad. Because we're thinking that she's missing and we're getting a bad experience because of attachment and time and space. But they're not getting a bad experience. They're getting a good experience. But it's the flavor of separation. But they're with Krishna. Because Krishna, his name, his form is called, they're non-different. So remembering Krishna, he's non-different. They're associating with Krishna. And they're getting all the ecstasy of that. It's just like, let us say, just for example, there's a nice kirtan, right? And in that, let's say you're remembering the deities or, some aspect of Krishna like this. Is it nice or not?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what Mother Jashoda is feeling. Because, we're remembering that we're not with Krishna directly, meaning physically. But at the same time, is that remembrance is non-different from Krishna, so it's nice. So what could be bad? And we're just getting a few moments. She's totally absorbed. She's in samadhi. So how much ecstasy is there? It's just a different flavor. So therefore, the flavor, the ecstasy of Vipralamba then enhances the ecstasy of Sambhog, which then enhances the ecstasy of Vipralamba. So the naturally nourish each other. But the point is this ecstasy from, from the no beginning to no end. Does that make sense? Does that work?
Yes.
Okay.
Back to the different kinds of mukti you mentioned about Salokya and Sarupya. I was always wondering about this Sarshti mukti to have the same opulences as the Lord. Srila Prabhupada many times mentioned that nobody can have the same opulence to the same degree as Bhagavan.
No, but it means a lot.
Huh?
It means a lot.
Oh. So what does it practically mean for the jiva who has this Sarshti mukti to have the same opulence as the Lord?
To have a lot.
Lot, but not to the same degree as Krishna, right?
Sarupya, you have the same form, but there's no... you don't have the Srivatsa, you don't have the Kastuba, there's a few things that you don't have that you can tell the difference. Right? So when you have opulence, you have lots of opulence, but it won't be the same as the Lord. Does that make sense? Are we going to... In other words, if right now you walked home and you found out you're a trillionaire, is there a problem? Right? I mentioned trillionaire because billionaires, that's, old hat, right? Right? You wouldn't have any problem. Yeah, so then. Sridhar Goswami said, offering obeisances to my spiritual master, I shall repeat to you the description of the opulences of Lord Vishnu given in the Vedas and Tantras by great authorities, beginning from lotus-born Brahma. The universal form, Virat, of the personality of Godhead includes the nine basic elements of creation, starting with the unmanifest nature and their subsequent transformations. So virat means everything, all the primary creation, and it also then enters into the secondary. Right? So that primary element you can find in the secondary. Once this universal form is instilled with consciousness, the three planetary systems become visible within it. Right, so as soon as the Lord is conscious of these aspects, he wants to see, taste, touch, smell, then you can see everything else. Right? So as he sees, you can see. He doesn't see, you don't see. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The form of the Lord conceived of using the vibhutis of the Lord is actually the universal form. That is explained in this verse. The form is composed of nine elements. Prakriti, sutra, right, means the desire for the material. Mahatattva, ahankara, and the five tanmatras. As well, as well as the 16 transformations. In other words, the 11 senses and the five gross elements. With this form, the three worlds are seen when it's instilled with consciousness. Right? So you can see everything in the three worlds by seeing with this consciousness. Right? Because you're connecting it to the Lord, therefore it can be seen. If you don't connect to the Lord, you can't see. You can only see according to your karma what the Lord is allowing you to see, because you're connecting to that, but you're only seeing that. You don't see it as it is. But when you see like this, that it's all coming from Krishna, then you can see everything. Like that? Something sense? Yeah. So Prakriti, is your basis of, so everything will be there. Then sutra, then how people have that material desire and everything like that, so you don't have a problem. Because you don't have any attachments, therefore you don't have a problem that others do. See, if you have attachments, you have a problem that others have attachments.
Yes.
If you don't have attachments, you don't have a problem that others have attachments.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? That's how it works. So if somebody's jumping up and down about attachments, they're attached. Yes.
Sometimes we have a situation, somebody has an attachment that the same attachment we have, so with that we don't have a problem, but with the other we do have.
Yeah, that's it. But as long as the balance is their attachment and your attachment can exist, coexist.
Coexist, exactly.
But if it's one last piece of pizza, then there's a problem. Yes, if you share, then it's no problem. Or is that, I saw one devotee, his daughter, like 3-year-old daughter, she would just eat the topping off of the top and leave the bread. So it's also 50-50. In fact, the bread part's actually bigger, right? So you get more. Yes. Sutta Goswami continued. This is the representation of the Supreme Lord as a universal person, in which the earth is his feet, the sky his navel, the sun his eyes, the wind his nostrils, the demigod of procreation his genitals, death his anus, and the moon his mind. The heavenly planets are his head, the directions his ears, and the demigods protecting the various planets his many arms. The god of death is his eyebrows, right? So when someone raises their eyebrows, oh no, like that. So, shame, his lower lip, greed, his upper lip, delusion, his smile, and moonshine, his teeth. While the trees are the almighty, because if your teeth were shiny like the sun, you got a problem, because no one can look at you. But if it's shiny like the moonshine, right, means the moon itself, the shine of the moon. We don't mean the stuff that you make in the bathtub in your backyard. Yeah? Does that make sense? No? Okay. While the trees are the almighty Purusha's bodily hairs, and the clouds the hair on his head. So starting even with these big things, as you always see these things, you can always be absorbed in the Lord. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This is the material form of the Lord. Paurusham rupam, not his surup. That's why he says, I am all these things, but his form is different. Right? His surup is different. By what vibhutis are his limbs conceived? This question is answered here. The vibhuti for the feet of the Lord is earth. By earth, one imagines his feet. Since they are considered non-different, they are equal in the text. The earth is his feet. All statements following are similar. Then by thinking of the feet and other limbs of the universal form, one should remember the spiritual limbs of the Lord composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. That's the point, is you have just one. That reminds you of the Lord that takes you then into his personal form. So depending upon your realization there, it'll be taken however far that is.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So you don't have to go through many stages. Yes. If we're going through many stages, then you know that we're still sadhakas in using this Kriya Yoga,
mm-hmm.
right? The Jnana Yoga there. So then it's a matter of, for the others, they just see, and because it's not, they just see the Lord. They see you know, Krishna and Braj. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's why Krishna's point is that if you're feeling separation, then remembering him is the solution. Right? So then, by understanding that he is everything and everything's in him, then you're never separated from him. You're always, there's always something to remind you of him. Does that make sense? So, even though we see us here, as we're going at the end of the canto, it's getting seemingly more and more covered. Right? But at the same time, as you see, as these technical points are what the highest devotees are using. But it's the devotion that's the highest element. But their techniques are all these. And these were the techniques given at the beginning.
Yes.
So we think, oh, there's something new, something different, you know, like this. Let us go to Radhakund and, you know, get some. No, it's already been given. People say, oh, this is all jnana and all this and that. You're remembering the Lord. How is that jnana? Does that make sense? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wow. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.
We can say literally what we want here.
Sorry?
We can take what we want, if you want.
Yes, you'll take according to realization. You know, like that. But in any case, even if we're on the bodily platform, it starts from there, and so then we're able to connect it to the Lord, and so we'll advance.
Yes.
And then as we go, then, you know, even for the Mayavadi, they can't conceive of the Lord, so you have to do something that's big, because Brahman is big, so therefore the earth is big, and that's his feet, and so then you can take it as it's very big.
Yes.
And so he'll start to get an idea. So that's the material concept.
Yes.
But then for others, it just it reminds you of the feet, then you remember his feet, and then you remember, you know, either, you know, the glories of him as the Lord, or the Supreme, and the glories of his feet, or pastimes concerning his feet, or, you know, like that.
Yes. 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 Okay.